Hello, everyone. Welcome to He Hears Even the Cricket in the Corner. I'm Cricket Douglas, here with Sanway Emanuel.
Hello.
And today's topic is, what time is it? And the reason why Sam allowed me to pick this topic is because God gave me a vision of a clock. If you look at the clock, the number 12 is at the top, the number 6 is at the bottom. But take close note, horizontally, at the numbers 11 and 1, 10 and 2, 9 and 3, 8 and 4, and 7 and 5. And if you look at them, they are across from one another, but they all add up to 12. How significant is that? And as I saw that, my whole concept of time changed because I've never, ever looked at it like that. And there is a significance in that number 12. So I asked Sam, did he know what time it was? And Sam, what did you say?
Well, when we were initially looking at that image of a clock and you were pointing out those numbers that fell horizontally to each other, I hadn't seen the significance of it. It was just a normal clock to me and never really looked too deep into it. But it was interesting how those numbers added up to 12, and you being someone who likes to look into the significance of numbers, I was interested what 12 meant and if there was any significance with any of the other numbers on the clock.
And that's true. And I don't want anyone to think, sometimes because when you deal with stars and astrology and different things, some people may think it's witchcraft. So I want you who are listening to dig deep and search, because God says there's hidden treasures. When you search for him, you'll find him. So when you get the opportunity, all you have to do is Google and ask, what is the significance of the number 12? And it'll tell you. But as Sam and I went forth talking about time, one of my favorite scriptures that I like comes from Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. And that being said, God is so strategic in his planning. And us being aligned with God's timing is significant in our lives too. Because when we're out of order, we're out of balance, and we're off kilt. We don't show up on time. In a sense, it's like being disobedient, because God sets an appointment for us each day. How many of us are late? How many of us are not good stewards over our time? And that's something that's very priceless that we don't get back. And speaking for myself, sometimes I procrastinate only to find out that I've wasted much valuable time. So it's important that we listen to God and pay attention, because in creation, God created things in a specific order, and order is important. I think of order in my life being very important, because I don't like clutter. When clutter is around me, believe it or not, my whole demeanor change. I just want to get rid of it quick, fast, and in a hurry, because it's like it consumes me. And God, being strategic, as I said, with creation, he knew what to create first, because it gives a balance in life. You don't want to have, just like you've all heard, not to put the carriage before the horse, because that's just backwards. Nothing to move. And God's timing our revolving around His timing helps keep balance in our lives. We can't do anything without Him. So to go before Him, you're totally out of order. And what do you think about that, Sam?
I definitely have witnessed and experienced the attempt of trying to get ahead of God or trying to do things in my own way. And when you were talking about being good stewards of your time, we also had to make sure, what is the definition of that? What are we comparing that against? And that's where we need to look to His word and seek Him through prayer to make sure that what we're thinking is a good steward of our time is in line with His word. And the example that I'm speaking of for myself is two different things. The first thing is when I decided to move here to South Carolina. And I just remember this the other night through a study that me and some of my friends are doing. I had totally forgotten about it. And that just goes to show how I've lost some perspective. But before I moved here, I wanted to make sure it was the right decision. And I would wake up every morning, wake up early, and sit for an hour with my phone out of reach and watch the sunrise and pray for the whole hour. My most consistent thing in that time was praying about moving here and that it would be the right decision and seeking if it was from Him. And then aside from that, just praying for different things. Like I did kind of like an ABC prayer. You go through the alphabets and pray for everyone or everything you think of through the alphabet. But what was most consistent was praying about moving here. And it came around to be evident to me that moving here was a good decision and it was something that was going to glorify Him. So I did it, and I had a lot of peace in that. A lot of people who haven't known me and my situation, I speak about moving here, they think it was kind of a crazy decision to go from living in a beautiful island to moving to out in the country in the middle of nowhere. But it was something that I prayed on a lot, and it's been a really good experience. But within that, where I experienced not seeking God's guidance and pushing my way and putting the cart before the horse, like what you're saying, is I got here and I had a plan, even though I was saying it's up to God and I'm looking to His timing and I'm going to have faith in that. I was saying that out loud, but I wasn't truly believing it because I wanted some sense of control. And I know last week, well, actually the week before when we were talking about anxiety, a lot of that was about control. So it kind of bleeds together. But I wanted a job very badly. I really do enjoy working. And I kept pushing and pushing to get a job. So much so that the options that were presented to me then were not ideal. But because it was my prerogative to want to work so badly, I took up one of them. And it was the worst experience of my life. And it was terrible. And during that time, though, I was thinking, I realized that I was rushing. I was trying to get ahead of what God intended for me. And then, only then, when I hit the bottom, after trying to get my way, I realized what I had done. And so then I started to pray, got out of that situation, and then ended up seeing a job offer to teach. Thought there was no way I was going to get it, but I just went for it and prayed that if it was His will, then He'd let it happen. It did happen, and I found that teaching is one of my most favorite things to do. I wouldn't have known that otherwise. And literally bleeding in from that time where I got done with that job to where I work now, where we work now, I finished my last day there and had my final interview here. And that transition was just so great, and it's been so great working here. And I know that's a long story, but it just is really impactful to live out the reality of trying to make things go according to your own timeline versus God's and seeing the contrast in between the two.
So, and you saying that sometimes we do want to make things happen before God's timing. And some of the scriptures in the Bible, it always says, in due season, in due time. And that phrase is, in due time, is God's timing. It signifies that God knows when we are truly ready, not when we think we are, because we have to be in position to receive what God has for us. We need to be having a mature mind. That's when we're being good stewards. Because if you're immature, you're not going to appreciate what God has given you. And you know when it says, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. Mm-hmm. So if you do get it, you shouldn't complain about it, mm-hmm. because you asked for it. Mm-hmm. Was it your season for it? Mm-hmm. Was the timing right for you? Were you able maturely to handle it? Because when we ask for things, there's maintenance that's required when we get it. Just like when you purchase a car. Okay, I see this shiny big Mercedes Benz. Okay, and I take it upon myself and I go get it. Okay, not thinking, hey, it ain't going to take regular gas now. I'm going with 97. Do I got 97 in my pocket? Your tires.
Real.
That's a big expense. Mm-hmm. So you can't complain about it if you do it, because that's something that you did. Had you waited for God, the circumstances probably would have been different. And we get offended when we want things and we pray, and God doesn't give them like we want them, because he knows us best. You know, wanting a big job, and you get the job, and then you go purchase a home, and then all of a sudden, you lose your job. But had you waited on God, and he told you, no, not that house, this one. Well, we're always looking at the big picture, but God knows the big future that he has for us, because he knows the plan and purpose that he has for us. Timing, a lot of people may not realize this, but if you think about Job, there's suffering in time. Job suffered a lot in getting his healing and his deliverance from what has transpired in his life. But because he was a godly man and God knew that, he delivered Job out of his circumstances. So we got to go through. We got to endure God's timing. And at the end, you'll really know who God is. Because the creation of the world, it was done, it says, in 7 days. But how long is 7 days to God? It could have been 20 years. But we just don't know that, because it's here now. And even when we want things, it takes time. We should never, ever do things on our own. You know what? When people say manifest, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to manifest. A lot comes with manifestation, but you don't see it then. Sure, I can go right now and I can say, I want this home and I'm going to get it. I start planning for it and everything, not knowing what's up ahead. And that's the thing about God's time. He knows everything, because he's the author and creator of time. And I think about Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And wickedness and plotting and scheming. Well, when you go against God, that's wickedness, because you're plotting and scheming against him, against his will. It doesn't necessarily have to be to harm a person. It's just disobedience, and disobedience brings curses upon us.
And it is interesting when we see things like in that verse where it talks about do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Because we can be in such a worldly mindset, looking at other people's success according to the world standard. And it's just natural to us when we're not in the Word and we're not looking through a biblical perspective, for us to get jealous, for us to get distracted, for for us to fall into other all types of other sins wanting to achieve that ourselves. When we have those thoughts, we use them as triggers to be like, oh, my inner man is coming out. I'm gravitating towards my way of sin. What is it that God says about this? How can I look at this through a Christ-like perspective as to not let it consume me and determine my way and establish a path that is not in line with his? And it says there to wait patiently for him. Waiting builds character and trust. And that's why even when I think back to the story I was telling earlier where things I didn't wait, he let me hit the ground real quick, but it was in the time that I did wait and I did pray and entrust things to him that I built character. I strengthened my relationship with him more than any other time in my life where I was just chasing rogue things. And that's where my faith truly deepened. And waiting is not a punishment, but it's preparation for us to move into the season that he does want us to go into next.
Those desires are worldly, but God has so much bigger and better for us. And the scripture says, we'll prosper as our soul prosper. And getting down in your soul and having that thing fixed right that only God can do, what that generates, kindness will come out of that. Patience comes out of that. Like you said, when you're being patient, it gravitates to a whole different things. Different identities come out of that. You know, you might have been a very selfish person, but something may have transpired in your life that allowed you to sit and wait. And you saw how you used to be in that waiting. And when you came out, it made you a better person. You know, just like going into the hospital for an operation. No one never goes, and the doctor said 9 o'clock. You may wait there until 10 o'clock. But you got a whole hour to think about things. Maybe you weren't nice to a person. And in that silent time, that gives you an opportunity to make it right. Maybe you have the fear of dying. In that hour, God gives you opportunity to come to him with that fearfulness that you have. And he'll give you comfort because he's everywhere. And if we realize that and just give it all to him and let his timing be the right timing, because that's what it is. And forget about our time, because we don't have anything. I mean, you're not sitting here right now, but in the next minute, boom, something could transpire that we not even would think that it would happen. But God knows. And I love the scripture that his grace is sufficient, because it can hold us down, Sam. When I tell you hold down, sometimes I can remember, you know, as I shared before, when I was real sick, I had to go through a season of that to get my healing. And it was probably about a good 2 weeks, but that was a whole different dynamic in my life. Things changed. And I wanted to live and not die. And I thought about my grandchildren. And I said, I got to live for them. But I still had to go through. I still had to be patient. I had to press forward. And truly, I felt like I wasn't even here because of the lonely time that I had to spend with God. I communicated with him so much and thanked him, because when I wasn't able to get up and walk and he allowed me to walk and get back to my bed, I was so grateful. And we take so much for granted with time. We think we're going to be here forever doing things the way we want to do, but God is in control of everything, and especially our time.
Yeah, definitely. And I think something that, in regards to time, that I fall victim to, or lead myself to be a victim of, is wanting to rush things. I know you, Ms.
Yes, you do.
You know this probably more than anyone because you see through into me and my struggle with this. And it's so ironic because I even started out this year saying that I wanted to slow down with things, and still I find myself rushing and putting more and more on my plate. But it is interesting with God's timing. It never seems rushed. He paces it exactly how it's supposed to be. I mean, obviously, he's the greatest example of everything for us, and we're supposed to strive to be like him. And so I need to continuously seek him for guidance in the usage and pace of my time. And in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So someone like me, I often want instant results. And in my perspective, I want to go about it with, I've heard it said before, as like a microwave mentality.
Mm-hmm. But it is.
But it is. And I think my generation, it caters towards that too, because people just have lesser and lesser of an attention span, less patience. It almost like a spoiled-like mentality where it's like, I want it now, give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not the way that God operates, because he knows that good things come to those who wait. And he works on an eternal timeline. So he's not in a rush. He will place things exactly how it needs to occur, when it needs to occur. And I just need to seek that type of mindset more, because I stay on a rush. So much so that, and I think we've talked about it before, I even talk about the things I do during the day in my sleep, like full-on sentences. I just can't calm my mind. And I'm really been thinking about it this week, because I've also been looking into like biblical meditation. What do I need to slow down doing and clear my mind to focus on? And I've found that that's his word that I need to just be meditating on, and doing it for the appropriate amount of time, even if that seems longer beyond my rush timeline likes to allow. But that's where I can see his promises and him never failing be made known to me.
How much pressure do we put on our brain? Because you spoke to me about talking in your sleep and answering yourself, and because you're all over the place, and I tell you, take your time.
Yeah.
You know, rest. Wait on God. I mean, whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. But let it be right. And I think, you know, even when we rush sometimes, Sam, through the day, we miss a lot of opportunities. And sometimes God will bring us right back where we started. You know, when we talk about multitasking, that we can do a lot of things at one time. But I think when we rush and do that, do you really see how intelligent you are through multitasking? Do you really see the gifts that you possess when you multitask?
And that reminds me directly of a conversation I was having the other day, where I was talking to someone about success and what success looks like. And when I was asked that, I had a realization that I don't think I sit and look at my successes. And of course, we need to define it by what God sees as success for our lives. But regardless of whichever way I look at it, I don't take the time to look. And it was kind of a sad realization, because I was like, so I'm just working my way through doing all this as fast as I can, but never taking the opportunity to stop and look back. Or I may even be headed in the right direction and I haven't stopped and looked back to make sure, or look forward to see the direction I'm going in.
And for me, I can relate to that and say this to you. When you're on 100 trying to get a lot done, you miss the small things throughout the day. How your smile brightens up my day, and how you're so helpful to others because you just stay focused. And for me, it helps me to be organized. And this past weekend, my two grandchildren, they came to work with me. And that was such a delight because that was a milestone. They got to see what I do. And they were very helpful and very appreciative. It was costly, but guess what? They were worth it. Mm. And I pray that I set a standard for them. So when they go out into the work world, to know their value. Know your value. Your value is important because it's timely. Like I said, when you come in the front door, Sam, my whole day just lightens up because I'm like, oh, Sam's here. And you and I exchange stories and we talk. And see, 10 years from now, I'll think about that. I mean, you do wonderful work. The work is fine, the mechanics, but I think about the relational. Mm. That's what hits my heart. Mm. Because you can leave here and you can get a bigger and greater job. But guess what? You'll never get another Miss Cricket.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll never get another Sam. And that's the most valuable thing about our relationship and the timing of our relationship and God, how God just orchestrated and pivoted us together to meet our goals. So, you know, I mean, it's all about Him and not about us. And when we realize that, we'll see just the bigger picture of time. Mm. Because it's definitely eternal. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I think we'll close out. But I want to close out with Genesis 21, 1 through 2. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as He had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what He had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. What a blessing for God to promise us something, and for Abraham and Sarah to have a child when she was not bearing and he was old. But see, when you wait on God, miracles can happen. Mm. When you wait on God, you're in alignment with His timing. And the story of Abraham and Sarah, you see what happened when Sarah went before God and she had Abraham to have a child with Hagar. Mm. That caused a little ruckus in the camp. And that's why we definitely need to wait on God and His timing. So, Sam, once again, I thank God for the time that I'm spending with you. And for those of you listening to the podcast, I truly hope it's beneficial to your soul. And Sam and I really love being here with you. And Sam, would you pray us out?
Sure. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to have the time to be able to sit here and be with one another and get to look over some scripture and reflect on the intent you have for our lives and the pace that you set for us, Lord. And thank you for allowing me to be able to see where I've made missteps and trying to control things and go in my own way. And I pray that I continuously have the realization and strive to be in line with what your intent is for me in my life. And thank you, Lord, for placing Miss Cricket in my life to quite literally stop and grab hold of me and remind me that I need to slow down and pace myself. And what a blessing it is for us to have this relationship and also to have this platform to be able to speak with all the people listening. And I pray that if they're experiencing something similar or just have issues with their time and pace, that they also consider these scriptures and look to you, Lord, and in any way that we can help too, that they reach out to us so that we can help in that way. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. And I know she's listening or going to listen, Shout out to Lucy. Whoop, we love whoop. You.
Hey, Lucy.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Miss Cricket.